It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and today we get to talk with Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office. Liz, we appreciate you taking time out and talking with us.
You bet.
So here we go. I guess we start with, we had some fairly serious rain here over the last week or two.
Yeah, but, you know, on that overall should be, you know, it was pretty welcome to everybody. I know some people had some severe weather with that. Hail is never welcome, but we did get some moisture, and that's the thing. You know, if you look at the, if you ever track the U.S. drought monitor, our section of the state has been under either abnormally dry or under a moderate drought, and even the most extreme part of southwestern Minnesota was under severe drought. Now, with the moisture that we just received, that has improved conditions over parts of the area. So, you know, like all Cottonwood County, we're still in that abnormally dry category, but the part that was under a severe drought has reduced, and there still is a little section. You know, if you look at like Rock and Pipestone counties, there's a part of that that is still under that severe drought category. So, you know, again, we need the drier conditions to get planting done, but we also need the moisture, of course, to keep everything going, too. So it's been nice to get a little break with the moisture. And, you know, thinking back again, too, you know, before we did get that moisture, there has been a lot of progress on planting. I've heard different reports from people throughout other areas, you know, made a really nice dent. Some people have already been able to wrap up corn planting, you know, in some parts of our region, and we're making a lot of progress on the beans. So, you know, once we have conditions that dry down again, I think people will be able to hopefully, you know, knock on wood, wrap things up here pretty quickly.
Well, now, so early on, it seemed like we were way ahead as far as planning, but then with the rain and the colder weather that we've seen, has that kind of backed it up to where we're kind of right on schedule again?
Well, you know, again, this so far, and again, of course, I'm not, you know, looking at the crystal ball here in the forecast and everything, but it looks like we're going to have an earlier season because, again, a lot of people made a lot of progress on planting before we got that rain. But then, like you say, you know, things have cooled off here, and that's one thing, too, people might be thinking about. It's like, well, you know, it's actually kind of chilly outside, but, of course, you know, it depends on how many growing degree days we accumulate based on, you know, when that crop's going to emerge. And just to remind people again how to figure that out, you know, to calculate a growing degree day, you just look at that daily average temperature. So you take the high plus the low, divide it by 2, and then you subtract 50 for both corn and soybeans because that's kind of the base temperature that we figure. There's really not much crop development going on. And another thing when we're calculating that daily average temperature, we don't use a number lower than 50, but we don't use a number higher than 86 either because there, again, we figure there's not much development above that. So, you know, basically, like, take a day. You know, we've had a day here right now. Let's say we got a high of 53, a low of 36, which is chilly, you know, but you put that into the calculation. We've only accumulated 1.5 growing degree days, you know, so it's not very much. But in the forecast, Sunday, for example, they're looking at a high of 74, a low of 49, at least where I was looking at for this location. And so you figure that out, and again, I don't use 49 in the equation. I use 50 for that low, but that calculates out to being 12 growing degree days, so get a few more. And the thing is, you know, for corn, we need about 90 to 120 growing degree days for corn to emerge, and soybeans, we need about 130 growing degree days before you'll see that emerge as well. So that at least gives you an idea of about when we should be, you know, anticipating to see the crops poking through the ground and when we can start doing those stand assessments and everything.
Now, we have had cooler weather. Once it's in the ground, do you have to worry about the temperature as far as, like, I don't know, would it be freezing the seed so it doesn't grow at all? Or once it's in the ground, are you good?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, one of the things, you know, people will talk a lot about, like, this imbibitional chilling injury. And I think there's a lot more talk about than what we actually see. But that doesn't mean that it can't ever happen. But basically, it's like within those first 12 to 24 hours about, you know, after you plant the crop, if you get a cold rain, that could be an issue, you know, if it's really colder. That's where we tend to see the most issues. But, you know, because, again, that seed is taking in the moisture right away when you plant it. But, you know, it can sit in the ground for a while. We know we can have corn sit in the ground a couple, 2-3 weeks, maybe even four. That's really kind of pushing it. But there's a lot of nice seed treatments, you know, that are on the seed, too, to help with any issues with corn in particular. But that's one thing. It's really kind of those conditions right after planting that have the highest risk of an issue if we do get those really cold temperatures. You know, now at this point, you know, I'm not so worried about that. But, you know, once a crop emerges, let's say we get below freezing, then, you know, you might have an issue of the crop, you know, having some loss of stand due to the, you know, seed or the sure. seedling freezing off. But corn, you know, it's 2.5 inch, that growing point still below the surface. Soybeans, that growing point gets pulled up above the surface. So, you know, those are all things to look at too. And they typically can handle temperatures like maybe down to about 28, not necessarily 32 degrees. So, but yeah, hopefully we're not going to be dealing with an issue like that. But, you know, that is one thing you got to look at. We certainly know Minnesota weather can change, and, you know, we're not past those last freezing dates either. So,
what,
you know,
is
there's
that
a risk
date?
Of that. What? Well, it depends where you're at. You know, you're kind of that first, it could be, you know, and how much risk. But once you get past that first week of May, you know, generally you should be pretty safe.
Okay. All right.
But again, you know, if the seed's below the ground, you got less chance of a risk. And yeah, it's just a lot of things to look at. But hey, we know planting corn like around that April 25th to the May 10th, that's really our sweet spot. That takes into account all that potential for, you know, having freeze issues and so forth. And soybeans, you know, they can be surprisingly resilient to cold temperatures too.
Very good. So we get planting all done, and then the next thing you get to worry about are all those pesky little pests.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we've got, we do have some insect monitoring networks out. And for example, like for black cutworm and true armyworm, I've got a couple traps here out in our backyard. And these are two pests that you have to, well, you want to keep an eye on. They can be a particular issue here early on in the season. Now, both of these pests, they cannot overwinter. It just gets too cold, you know, here in our part of the world, which is a good thing, you know, overwinter. So they don't overwinter, and so they have to come up from the south. They typically come up, say, if there's like a storm system, those moths can get really high up in the jet stream, but then, you know, when we have a rainfall event, that's when those moths can drop down, and they're attracted to grassy areas, would be one of the areas, like pastures, but like if you have cover crops too, and they're attracted to those areas where they lay their eggs, and then, you know, once those eggs hatch, you get the larva, and as they get more mature, you know, they can get to a point where they could, you know, for example, black cutworm could cut off corn seedlings, chew armyworm can really wreak havoc on crop stands as well. So that's why we have these monitoring networks out there, so we track when moth flights occur. Or, you know, again, it's volunteers that help gather this data, and then, you know, you calculate, start those growing degree days with these insects too, and just see how far along their development is, compare that against the crop, you know, and see where that is going as well. So then it just helps people in scouting to know, like, okay, hey, about this point in time, we could have, you know, we got a higher risk of black cutworm being at the stage where they could be cutting plants, or, you know, true armyworm be out there looking for that, especially if you have cover crops, you know, really want to have people on the lookout for that. So again, just some tools to help people out.
Sure. I didn't guess, you don't really think about how much math is involved in farming, do you? There's a lot of figuring.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. Like Bruce Potter, he's actually retired. These are integrated pest management specialists used to be. He still runs that network, and he's the one who does all the math on that, so we send him the numbers and we let him figure that out. But yeah, so people say you don't really need to use math. Well, yeah, you do. There's a lot of times you use that.
That's for sure. All right, Liz, strategic farming, the field notes are starting back up.
That's right. We're going to be kicking that off on May 13th. So that's where we have that program every Wednesday morning. That one's a little bit earlier than Let's Talk Crops. The field notes, that goes from 8 to 8:30. And again, that will be every Wednesday morning, May 13th through August 12th. And just, yeah, talk about the, you know, issues that are popping up during the season, things to look out for. So it should be a really timely half hour, hopefully well spent for people. And we do also record that as a podcast. So if you're not able to join live, you can just, you know, on your whatever format you use to listen to podcasts, you should be able to pull that up as well. And we get those posted as soon as we can after the program's done. Now, if you want to register for that, and then you do have to register to get the link to join live, so that's just at z.umn.edu/strategic farming. And just want to say, too, you just need to register one time, and you'll get notices for all the events throughout the season. And we do thank the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council and the Minnesota Corn Research and Promotion Council for helping, you know, sponsor that program.
Very good. Yeah, that is a half hour well spent.
Yeah, you know, and I really do encourage people to join live because you do get the opportunity. We let people, you know, plug in if they have any questions that pop up. So it is a nice opportunity to get your questions addressed right there in real time.
Yeah, definitely. Any other upcoming events we need to talk about?
Yeah, we do have some events, and these are a little further along in the season here, but hey, you know, good things to put on the calendar. For example, on June 16th, for those that are more on the eastern part of the listening area, we have the Agronomy Field Day at Waseca. Again, that'll be June 16th that morning. And then for those of us here on the western part of the state, June 25th, we've got our Cover Crop Field Day at Lamberton, and that is set to go from 9 to 1 o'clock, including lunch. I've got a nice lineup. Last year it was a little too wet to get out in the field. Hopefully this year we'll be able to look at all the different cover crop trials out there and some different demonstrations. And then this one is a little further down the road here too, but again, new event. Well, it's bringing back event we used to have years ago, but our Strip Till Expo, we'll be having that again on September 9th. That'll be at the Southwest Research and Outreach Center in Lamberton. More details will come on that, but yeah, we've just heard a lot of interest from people in strip tillage. It has been, you know, a really nice system when we look at our research data. So yeah, I do encourage people, if you're interested in strip tillage or trying it out or even, you know, doing it right now, hey, this will be should be a nice program to check out as well.
Busy season ahead.
Never a dull moment, right?
Yeah. And again, you can always go to the Extension website and get all the details and all the information you need.
Yeah, just go to our Extension Crops website at z.umn.edu/crops. And there's a section there under upcoming events, and you should be able to plug in, you know, just do a search for the different event, and it should give you more details, including location and all that, and for registration.
Very good. Liz Stahl, anything else we need to add today?
Well, hey, I just hope everybody has a great season here and planting gets wrapped up safely for everybody as well. And again, hopefully we have a kickoff to a really nice growing season again this year.
Amen to that. All right, Liz, hey, thank you for talking with us.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That will do it for Kaleidoscope this morning on KDOM.